Shalom Mishpocha, Shalom family. That's what Mishpocha means. Mishpocha is Hebrew for family. And if you've come to love the Bible, then you've come to love the Jewish people and the nation Israel, because God loves the Jewish people and the nation Israel. And speaking of the Jewish people, we have Cantor Bernie Rubenstein here. And on yesterday's broadcast, we left off, Bernie, if you remember, I had met a friend of yours. We had scheduled a meeting. You found out that you knew me in high school, and I sat down in your home with you and your wife Vivian, and I started sharing prophecies about how God had fulfilled Scripture before our very eyes involving the nation of Israel. And with all of your Jewish background, with all of your love for Israel, it was like truth was going forth, and you kept accepting it. And then we started talking about, from that same book of truth, the Hebrew Scriptures, we started talking about Yeshua, which is Hebrew for Jesus.
And I remember how you unfolded the concept of Messiah's salvific nature to me, Sid, and this was something that really touched my heart. If you remember correctly, you drew from what was contained in the very essence of Torah, that it was necessary, it was required by God, that Israel would offer a sacrifice for the purpose of achieving remission of sins. And this sacrifice would have to be a vicarious sacrifice, the offering up of a unblemished lamb for the purpose of pleasing God, who would then take that offering and accept it as a sacrifice for the remission of our sins. You went on to explain to me that this was within itself prototypical of what the Lord Jesus would do for all who would follow him, for all who would believe in him. You later went on to read to me and Vivian, or to ask us to follow you as you were reading, the 53rd chapter of the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah.
You know, if there is no other scripture that a Jewish person who's listening to us right now should read, it is the 53rd chapter of Isaiah.
Definitely, because of all the scriptures that I had read, it was the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which really touched my heart in terms of getting me to open up and be receptive to God's truth. But first it required an act on my part, and that act on my part was simply stating that I was going to stand on a principle of faith and listen with an open heart and with an open mind and be receptive to anything that was going to be shown me as being part of God's truth. You went on to read from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, pertaining to the sacrifice, and this is the part that really touched me. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he was poured out himself to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. I became aware at that moment that my life was plagued and inundated with sin, something that I hadn't thought of in years. And then all sorts of thoughts began going through my mind that night after you left concerning this whole thing involving sin. Where am I in the sight and eyes of God? Do I have the right to stand before the throne of judgment and say, Lord God, I require that you be merciful with me? And I state my case before you right now as one of righteousness, when I cannot state my case before God as one of righteousness. Where then is my righteousness to be established? Certainly not within myself. Certainly not in terms of my performance and my deeds, because they were void and empty and absolutely meaningless. not worthy of God's attention, not worthy of God saying to me, Bernie, I have deemed you worthy. I am not worthy. Therefore, my mind was open, and I began to look for the first time in my life, what is it that I have to do? And I began to pray that way also, said, Lord, what is it that you would have me do? And that was something that you challenged me with, if you remember correctly. One of the last things that you said after you left my house that evening was, pray as you've never prayed before. Not in terms of the prayers that are contained in the Siddur. Not prayers that you would say by rote. Not prayers that you would say simply because you're enabling yourself to take part in a tradition. But pray from your heart and ask God if He would reveal the truth of Yeshua to you. I resisted at first. But then I just threw my hands up and I said, Lord God, I don't know where I stand. I want to know you. Now show me the way.
What was the next way that God answered that prayer?
Well, after you left, and I woke up the following morning, still in somewhat of a dither, still in somewhat of a state of confusion, I received another phone call from my friend Joel, inviting me to come to Beth Messiah.
This was your Jewish friend that I had shared with a few days before.
Yeah, right, exactly. Inviting me and Vivian to come to Beth Messiah. That first time that I went to Beth Messiah, I went alone because Vivian wanted absolutely nothing to do with this. Her mind was somewhat plagued by ideas of what is my family going to say? What are all of our Israeli friends going to say? I said, well, I'm not concerned about that right now. Right now, I'm concerned about a higher objective, and I intend to pursue it. If there's any truth to it, I believe that God will reveal it to me. And so that Friday night, I came to Beth Messiah.
Do you remember that first service?
Yeah, it was... I walked away with a lot of mixed emotions. One thing that I did notice, which I cannot help but remember, because it stands out in front of me right now as though it happened 5 minutes ago, was that I saw an abundance of joy and love that I had never seen before. I found that within this very, very small body of believers, and I believe that Beth Messiah at that time consisted of no more than 12 to 15 people, but yet I saw a common denominator that served as a cohesive ingredient that made these people think and act as, one of your favorite words, as mishpacha, that they were indeed family. And I was jealous to have what they had. Something was there, a certain dimension, a certain spiritual dynamism that is so enigmatic that it cannot be placed into proper words, but it was there and it touched the very core of my soul, and I had to do something about it.
What did you do?
Well, I stayed. At first I was going to leave.
Well, that was an accomplishment in itself.
Well, right, because so much of what was being said and so much of what was being done was so blatantly offensive to me. It went against the very, very grain that I was made of. Here I am, a nice Jewish young man who came from an Orthodox Jewish background.
And by the way, when I found out that you were a cantor, I said, Lord, we need a cantor in our congregation.
Right. Well, the Lord provided you with a cantor.
Jehovah Jireh.
May I correct you on that?
Yes, you may.
Jehovah Jireh.
You and your Sephardic nonsense. I'm Ashkenazic, Bernie.
Even an Ashkenazic Jew wouldn't say Jehovah Jireh.
Okay.
The Lord who provides. And He did. He did provide for me. He provided for all my needs in a very, very miraculous way. I was going to leave that Friday night. For two reasons. First of all, my leg, which was beginning to bother me more and more, was starting to act up on me.
Oh, that's right. You had all those physical symptoms that the doctors weren't able to find a cause
for. But was finally diagnosed as being multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
Yeah. And a certain queasy feeling in my stomach, almost to the point of nausea, as if to ask myself, what am I doing here? Why am I allowing this to continue? Why can't I simply nip it in the bud before it mushrooms into something that is uncontrollable? Yet something kept me there, and the ingredient that I was perceiving more than anything else, that very amazing ingredient of what I would refer to now as spiritual magnetism was the love that the people were showing me, someone whom they had never met before, and someone whom they were reaching out to not because they were going to develop someone else as another convert, but because they were following the words of the Lord Yeshua in terms of reaching out to people whom they didn't know with love. And it was that love that was the one ingredient that kept me coming back over and over and over again.
Did you start reading the New Covenant?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of this Yeshua, Jesus?
Yes, I did. You've got to remember that I had an experience with the New Covenant when I was 10 years old. And I said at that time that this was the seed that was planted, which would be the manifesting point for a great spiritual odyssey in my life. What had happened many, many years earlier, the seed that was planted was now bearing fruit. And I remembered it. And I looked up to God, and I said, Father, I don't yet know how to thank you, but I believe that my life has changed. I believe that because of the workings of people who are instrumental in my life, you have given me an understanding of what your real identity is all about. And I remember one of the first prayers that I prayed was to ask God for his forgiveness for rejecting Yeshua all those years.
Bernie, our time is up.